Well, it is good to be with you this morning. Really good to be with you this morning. Yes, that's part two for me. I got to be here at the 9 o'clock too, so that was fun. If you haven't met me yet, I am Diana Shiflett. I'm the campus pastor at the Arlington campus, and I get to come and be with you today, which is so fun for me to come on out here. The other thing that you might not know about me or about our family is that my husband owns a store called Bat Cave Treasures and Toys. And the part that we love the most about that is we have the opportunity to share the gospel with people that might never walk into the doors of a church. And at the Arlington campus this morning, we actually showed a video of a man who came to Christ through the Bat Cave, and we got to baptize him back in February. And it is just, it's so fun. That's our favorite part about owning that store. But now my number two favorite is I get to meet famous people. I thought I was super cool around famous people, but what I realized is I've never really met anybody famous. And so I'm a little weird when there's famous people, I've realized now. It's good to know. So one day I was helping my husband at the store, and the phone rang, and he was with a customer, so I was like, Batcave Treasures and Toys, and it was the voice of Scooby-Doo on the other line. I was so starstruck. I was trying to get it on speakerphone because he started to go into all the voices that he does. And I was like trying to have this really cool moment where everybody was going to get to hear it. And I was so nervous. I never got it on speakerphone. So then I was trying to be cool again and listening. And he's like, I want to come to your store. And I was like, okay. And so he's coming today. So excited. But anyway, yeah. But I also got to hang out with him, you know, super casually because it was so, at the Lafayette Music Room. And he came outside with us and we're chatting away. And I'm trying to be cool. I really thought I was cool around famous people, but I'm not. And he looked at me. He's like, do you want me to make you a video? And I was like, yes, like that's the answer, right? But he's like, well, what do you want it to be? And I'm like, I don't know. And then I was like super lame. And I was like, I'm preaching in April about the voice of God. And he's like, oh, I got this. And he grabbed my phone, and this is the video he gave us.
Hey, everybody, Scott Innes here with Pastor Diana.
Hi.
Okay, so here's the deal. I want to say, today's sermon, we're talking about hearing God, the word of God, and we're hearing things about God. Let me tell you something. Sometimes in life, you have to listen. People go, I don't hear God talking. That's because you're not listening. See, God gives us things every single day in our life, but if you don't slow down, you miss them. See, when I was a kid, I had three goals in my life. My goals, one was to write a hit song for Kenny Rogers because I loved him so much. And also it was to become the voice of Scooby-Doo because I thought, man, that would be fun to do cartoon characters. And another, I used to watch the CMA Awards, the Country Music Association, and I wanted to win one of those awards so bad. So see, God gave me the strength throughout my childhood to go through diversities, put my foot in the door because he spoke to me all the time. And I listened, see, and I navigated that path. Let me just take you back a little bit. In 1997, I became the voice of Scooby-Doo, okay? In 1998, I won a CMA award from the Air Personality of the Year from the Country Music Association. And 2002, I wrote Handprints on the Wall for Kenny Rogers, his last charting hit. See, God speaks, you just have to listen. And with that note, as Casey Kasem always said, keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
Yeah, I was weird the whole time. That's why he was getting me in the shot, because I was just being a weirdo. But wouldn't it be fun if we got that excited about when God speaks to us? Like, just like giddy, and we couldn't like hold ourselves together. But I feel like we're just like, oh yeah, he speaks, or we have no idea that he speaks. And that's the series that we're in right now, is that God still speaks and he wants to speak to us. And Scott Innes was actually talking about circumstances most of the time when he was telling me his story off camera of what God did and how he got him to the place that he did. Last week, Pastor Kaz talked about hearing that small, still voice through prayer. And Joey, our new next-gen director, he talked talk to us about pulling away from the crowd in prayer so that we can hear from God and getting that daily rhythm of meeting with God so that we can hear his voice. Next week, Pastor Kaz is going to open up the scriptures and remind us that that is the primary way that God speaks, is through his word. And it is the authority that no matter what, that is where we're turning to say this is how we know for sure that it's from God. And today I get to talk to us about how God speaks to us through other people in our lives. I think we've all probably had a moment like that where someone says something and you're thinking, that was for me. I needed to hear that. That person said that to me so that God could let me know. It reminds me a little bit of that game show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Where when you're confused or you don't know the answer or you think you might know the answer, you can phone a friend or you can poll the audience, right? And you can get an answer. And that's kind of, you know, what we're talking about is you're reaching out to other people to see if you can get the right answer of what God's trying to say to you. In the Old Testament, God gave people prophets. A couple weeks ago, Sydney Grayson, who works with the youth here, she talked about the prophet Jonah, and Jonah was told by God, go tell a whole city that they're sinners. Ooh, super fun job, right? Right? And he was not excited about that. But usually when a prophet speaks, it's the people that are not real excited about it. And so when we hear from God, sometimes it's like, ooh, this is kind of bad news, right? And I don't know if they're gonna want to hear this. In that story, Jonah was the one that was reluctant and he ran away. But eventually he came back and he told this town and the whole town repented. Like that's rare. That's pretty cool, though. But we're going to talk about one of the prophets. God gave prophets to the kings in the Old Testament so that they could hear from God. It's a very important piece that the prophets were talking to the king. So God would talk to the prophet, and then the prophet would talk to the king. And today we're going to talk about the prophet Daniel. A lot of you might know the book of Daniel. So we're going to be in the book of Daniel, mainly in chapter 2. So if you have your Bible and you want to follow along, you can open up to Daniel chapter 2. If you want to pull it up on your phone, you're welcome to. We'll also have most of it up on the screen. But let me pray for us as we open God's word. God, help us to hear from you today. As we open your word and listen to the prophet Daniel, I ask that you would help us, that you would teach us. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. All right, I'm going to start at the beginning of the chapter of Daniel 2. It says, in the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, the astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, I have had a dream that troubles me and I want to know what it means. Okay, so usually when we read the scriptures, we go for the hero, like, let's listen to the hero, right, Daniel? And normally when we read the book of Daniel, I would encourage you to, like, look at Daniel. But I actually want to learn from King Nebuchadnezzar today, the bad guy in the story, because he teaches us some things. And right here, like, we can all relate to this. He decides to go to the wrong people right away. He's like, I have an answer. Let's go to the worst possible people to ask this question. And I feel like we can relate to that, because when we have anxiety, when we are sleep deprived, we make real bad decisions. Anybody relate to that? Like, you're literally, your brain gets so flooded that you with emotion that you cannot think straight. So you make real bad decisions, including the people that you might choose to help you out. Back in 2020, my husband and I were between two houses, and so we, like, you know, when 2020, when everybody sold their house and then got in new ones, we did that too. It was cool. Just what the cool people were doing. No, actually, we didn't really know that the pandemic was going to be a thing, and we were already in the process. But we ended up spending 90 days in a one-bedroom apartment, and we have two dogs, and so there was thankfully a pool at this apartment complex. And so I would go sit by the pool, and this young lady came up and sat next to me one day and started pouring out all of her anxiety and her stress and how terrible her life was. She did not know I was a pastor. I was like, how does this always happen to me, right? must have a sign. And so I was sitting there and I was trying to listen to her and take it all in. And she, you know, I didn't reveal that I was a pastor. And then she's like, "But it's going to be okay because I go see a palm reader every week." And I was like, "Oh, wow." So then I had to reveal that I was a pastor. I was like, this is irresponsible as a pastor to just let this go on. So I tell her about, we're situated right between two campuses. It wasn't here. I was a different church at the time. And I was like, 10 minutes that way. You're at a church. 10 minutes that way. There are community groups where you can surround yourself with other believers. And there's a care night group that'll care for you in this stuff that you're dealing with. And here's when all the services are. I'm like pouring out all that I have to offer. She never came. And when I bumped into her a couple more times during the summer, I was like, "How's it going?" She's like, "It's getting worse." It's like, "Still going to see the palm reader?" Yeah. Imagine that. But honestly, we can relate, right? When we're in a situation, we find the wrong people and we seek out the wrong way and we go in that direction. All right, back to King Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel. Verse 14, chapter 2, verse 14. Then Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death. Oh, wait, I forgot to tell you a part of this story. So King Nebuchadnezzar gets so mad that no one can explain this to him, his dream to him, that he's like, "I know what I'll do. I'll kill all the wise people." That seems like a great idea. So that's where we're at. He has commanded that all the wise people be killed. Okay, good idea. All right, so here we are. All right, King's guard, gone out and put to death the wise men of Babylon. Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. Good old Daniel. He asked the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went to the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Daniel's like, "I got nothing left, you know, nothing to lose, right? He's going to kill me anyway. So I'm going to see if I can find out if God will talk to me and tell me, and then I'll tell the king." And here's where we can listen to Daniel. We can listen to Daniel because Daniel does it right. Listen to what he does in starting in verse 17. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven. Daniel made the right choice. Daniel went to his friends who he knew loved God and were following God. And what I want to say to us is we need to find those people before we're in that place of anxiety and stress. Have those people. They were his people before he found out he was about to be murdered. So he went to those people and he knew, I'm gonna come to these guys and they are gonna pray and it's going to be good. In Proverbs 15:22, it says, "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed." And so we need to find those friends and family in our life. But I also want to say sometimes, this is just a little caveat, sometimes people are too close to us, like as a human. They might be very godly people, but they might want to stop us, say, from moving 8 hours away from them, you know, for example. I moved 8 hours here. I might not have gotten the same response from people if they're too attached. I might not be here if I asked the wrong people, right? Should I go? So a long time ago in a land far, far away, I had just finished a master's degree in clinical psychology, and I had two jobs on the table. One job was a youth ministry position at the church I grew up in, and the other one was a job in Arizona. I lived in Chicago area at the time, Arizona, as a therapist. And I was 22, 23 years old, and I was like, man, Arizona's warm. I can be a real live adult and be a therapist. Can you imagine seeing a 22-year-old who's be a therapist? Anyway, enough about that. I don't know what I thought I was doing. Anyway, so I got these two ideas on the table, and I heard that small, still voice. And the small, still voice said, "Diana, stay right where you are. You're called to ministry, and I want you to stay right where you are." But because I was young and wanted to do the cool thing, I was like, well, let me ask some people, right? And so I found this woman who was very wise, went to our church. I adored her. She liked me enough that I knew she would care about the right answer, but I also knew she was not attached to me so much that she wouldn't release me to Arizona, right? And so I sat down and I asked her, I said, will you pray with me? Because I am not sure where God is calling me. And I didn't reveal to her my internal dialogue with God about, you know, I'm probably supposed to stay and not go to the cool place. I didn't say any of that. I just laid them both out. And she's like, okay, yeah, let's pray. And we were praying. And she prayed, I prayed, and we sat in silence for a little while. And then she turned to me and she said, this sounds weird, but God said, you already know. Oh, man. And then she said, and every time I picture you at the church, there's this like yellow glow, this like calm, peaceful, godly glow around you. And you know, I just cannot even picture you in Arizona. Not that she wasn't trying, right? And I was like, oh man. And so I took the job and I've been in ministry now for 29 years and I don't regret one minute of that. I'm pretty sure I would have regretted the move to Arizona just because it would have been so, so, so hard and so, so, so not what I was called to do, big picture, long term. But I needed that person to really say, no, you know, you can hear the voice of God. Let's turn to verse 24 as the history goes on here. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon. And he said to him, do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him. Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, I have found a man among the exiles of Judah, from Judah, who can tell the king what the dream means. The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come. It's so interesting. Like, he's like, the king knows, kind of like my story. You know. And King Nebuchadnezzar in that moment, he knew. He knew that Daniel was right and he was interpreting it correctly. And one of the things that is really cool about how God works is that when God speaks, yes, he will speak to an individual. But the other really cool part about the Holy Spirit is he will also speak in community as well. So when I went to my friend, what she heard was aligning with what I had already heard. And sometimes we don't trust that, and we don't think that can be true. But if it's the Holy Spirit speaking, he's not going to say one thing to you and another thing to me, and they'll be in conflict. They're usually in concert with one another. Now, sometimes it takes a long time, but that is how God speaks. When I am in a situation where I'm trying to hear from God, one of the first questions that I ask myself is, does it honor God? And if it doesn't honor God, then I can just move on, right? It was tricky with those two because both of those jobs would have honored God, right? I was helping people. I was caring for people. And so you have to ask yourself that question. And in verse 46, we see the situation where King Nebuchadnezzar, it's like, he gets it. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." So King Nebuchadnezzar knew, like, he was honoring God in that moment. And you could see God had spoken and he had used Daniel to speak. The next thing that I ask myself when I'm trying to figure it out is, does it line up with the word of God? Does it align with the scriptures? And I don't want to steal Pastor Kaz's sermon next week, so I'll let him cover that next week. He's going to talk about that very specifically. But the third thing is, if I am questioning that, like if I had questioned that one friend, I can go to other believers to make sure and confirm it. And I kind of did, because when I announced that I was going to stay as the youth pastor where I was, it was like, yes, that's the right answer. That's the right answer. Now, of course, some people are like, yay, we finally found somebody. We know that feeling deeply, don't we? But the fourth question is, does it produce good fruit? And you can go right to the scriptures to look what is good fruit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control." That is so helpful sometimes. You can just look to see, is it going to produce that kind of fruit? Is it starting to produce that kind of fruit? Now, I will say that we sometimes forget to include other people in our journey, right? We're like, it's just so much faster. I'm going to make the decision, and I'm going to move on, and I'm going to do my thing, and I don't need to ask anybody else. And I think one of the reasons is because we don't want to be told what to do. Anybody have that? Is that just me? We don't like to be bossed around. I'm going to do it my way. I like my way. I'm going to do it my way. But another thing that I think it was, we simply forget to include other people in decisions like that, or we're so new to the faith that we don't know to ask other people, or we haven't gotten to that place where we know. And so we need to find people that are further along in our journey that we can turn to. That woman that I talked to is probably 20, 30 years older than me. I don't even know now that I think about it. But she was further along in her faith. She had heard God speak to her multiple times at that point. I'm this little 22-year-old. It reminds me of Samuel in the scriptures, where he was young and he was trying to hear the voice of God. And actually, God called him by name a couple of times, Samuel, Samuel. And he kept walking to his mentor and he's like, yeah? And his mentor finally, Eli finally was like, oh yeah, that's God. That's God talking to you. And so we need people like that in our lives who can say, Diana, that's God speaking to you. And that's good to be able to listen to God. The other thing that we can't do is we can't follow every voice, right? Lots of voices come at us, but that's why you have all those questions to like kind of narrow it down and figure it out. And the last question that I ask myself when I'm trying to figure it out is God starting to make it happen, right? Is it starting to happen already? That church, I had already been the part-time youth pastor while I was getting my master's degree. He was already doing the work. He had already grown the youth ministry in those first 2 years. He was already doing something with me being there already. But in the last 18 months, I've been watching God do something in at the Arlington campus. And it has been powerful to watch. This morning, there were 107 people worshiping over there. When I arrived, you know, between 40 and 60 were coming on a regular basis. And it is not about just filling the pews, my friends. What is happening there is real live people are trying to find Jesus. They are coming through the doors and they are longing to understand who God is and they want to hear his voice. This young woman came into a Bible study a couple months ago And, you know, she was kind of harried, and she comes in, and she sat down, and we were going around, like, what brings you to this group? Because we were all starting on the same night. Some had been at our church for a while, and some were brand new, and she's like, I just want to find God. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, like, she's like, this Bible someone gave me. She was totally honest, and I was like, this is cool. And towards the end of that first session, we had like 10 verses, and I was like, oh, perfect. There's 10 people in the room. And so I was just randomly assigning, like, will you read this one? Will you read this one? Will you? And she was sitting right next to me, and I got to her, and she had wide eyes, and she's like, and I was like, oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. I'm going to help you. I'll help you find it. Because they're all looking. They don't even know we're having this little dialogue. And so we find her verse, and I'm like holding my finger right where she's supposed to be. And this was her verse, Deuteronomy 4:29. I had not looked ahead. But if you, from there, you seek the Lord, your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. I started to giggle. Like, I was like, oh my gosh. And I looked at her and she's like, what? I was like, God just spoke to you. She's like, what? I was just trying to read the words. She like didn't even catch it. She needed someone who had heard the voice of God before. Like, I was over the moon that God had already spoken to her. She just walked through the door the first day and was like, I'm really wanting to find God. I was like, he's already talking to you. That's impressive. But she needed someone who was a little further down the road, who had heard the voice of God, who knew that he was speaking. James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And that is what I'm witnessing over at the Arlington campus. That's just one of the many stories that's happening over there right now. All right, we're going to continue on in Daniel's story, really King Nebuchadnezzar, right? Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. Okay, so we're like, oh, good, good. King Nebuchadnezzar's getting it, right? He's going on in the right direction. He's got the right people heading in the right direction. But he, like all of us, we hear the voice of God, and we're like, yeah, I'm listening. And then we turn around and we go the wrong way. Because the next scene, King Nebuchadnezzar is mad again because these four guys aren't bowing down to this huge statue that he's created, and he doesn't like it, so he's like, time to murder again. I don't know why he's always murdering people. Anyway, but we can relate to King Nebuchadnezzar, right? We heard from God, and we started to go in that direction and trust the right people and do the right thing. And then we're like, nah, I didn't like how that went. They're not listening to me anymore, and so I'm going to go my own way again. It is good for us to be able to see King Nebuchadnezzar do it wrong, and then do it right, then do it wrong, then do it right, because we can relate to that. We can comprehend what that's like. We're going to jump all the way to chapter 4 for our last moment, because this is kind of how it goes. Daniel now, like, he's like, I just got to be straight with this king, because he is not getting it. Every time I think he's got it, and then he goes backwards, I got to warn him. I got to warn him, and I'm just going to say it straight up. Therefore, your majesty, this is verse 27 of chapter 4. Therefore, your majesty, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue. Next part of the story, King Nebuchadnezzar's eating grass like an animal. So he didn't really listen until verse 36. At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Mm-hmm, right? We can live that. We can feel that. And so, long story short, listen for the voice of God. Check it out. Make sure it's right. But then follow him. Let's pray. God, I'm so thankful that you give us friends and family, sometimes even strangers, sometimes celebrities, that come and talk to us and try to tell us what you need us to hear. God, this week I ask that you would help each one of us to hear from you, whether we're hearing through circumstances or prayer, that small, still voice, reading your word, through other people. Allow us to hear your voice, and not just hear it, but to follow you with all our heart and with all our soul. May we seek you and allow ourselves to find you. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.